My name is Billy. I'm a recovering addict.
Hi, Billy.
My clean date is 6/13 of 1990. For that, I'm truly grateful. So I'd like to read a little something, because our literature, and let me just say this, I'm not a huge reader. I'm not a big book thumper. My book is not highlighted. It is behind the seat in my truck, and I don't drive my truck every day. All right? But what I did is, because I am that person that doesn't read, is I suited up and showed up every time we had book study at my group. And I got involved and I learned the book through going to the book study and sharing. I read it once. Why read it again? So, I mean, you know, so that's where I'm at. But I said, hey, what am I sharing on? They said, hope. And I'm like, okay, where, what? And they said, together we rise to the point of freedom. We need one another to get there. And one of the most beautiful things we do in this fellowship to support one another is the pursuit of our dreams. Sharing our hopes and our successes is as much a part of carrying our message as sharing our fears and difficulties. We have a message of hope to carry. It's a gift and an obligation. We may not relate exactly to one another's dreams, but we can relate to the hope, energy, and excitement of trying to realize them. We are inspired by one another's journeys. Being present to one another's growth gives us tools and inspiration to move forward ourselves. But we also find that we are able to stay put, follow through, and live the lives we create. Our recovery is something that we can trust and believe in. New beginnings are possible anytime we are ready. So a lot of y'all know, not most of y'all, but so I took that and I'm like, okay, how do I apply that where I'm at today? So the company I was working for last year the owner decided to sell the company. I'm a little nervous. It'll all calm down in a minute. So the company decided to sell. And I pretty much knew there wasn't a path for me moving forward. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And there was a lot of fear. And I probably acted out not good on that fear. And the way it came out sometimes at my home group or in my personal relationships. Because fear is a motherfucker, right? And so I have a friend that is not in the program, and we've been friends. Oh, my God, I'm leaking everywhere. Jesus. Yeah, you can't grow without water. Here we go. So I have a friend, and we've been friends for a long time, and she said, hey, I have this car. She gave me the car, allowed me to use the car to drive Uber. And then she said, hey, she said, do you want to move your RV to my property? And I was like, absolutely. And I was so happy and terrified all at the same time. She lives in New Braunfels, which means I had to leave all of y'all here and go there. And that, I didn't know what that was going to look like. But it's been a journey, and it still is a journey, right? So I moved to New Braunfels, and, you know, for a minute, I don't think I made very many meetings, and I concentrated on working, trying to figure out what that was going to look like so that I could make sure that my money was set, not that I gave up my recovery. It just at that point, it was priority, but it wasn't priority. I need to make sure that I could financially be stable, right? And I didn't know what that would look like. Excuse me. Nasty. Sorry, y'all. Grow older in this program. So I didn't know what that was going to look like, so I concentrated on driving. And as I'm concentrating on driving and getting up and trying to figure that out, you know, I made a couple of meetings here and there, and it's like, couldn't get plugged in, and I went over here, and I didn't like the way they did the meetings over there, and I went over here, and I was pretty comfortable there, and I went over here, and these people are talking too much during the meeting, and it's not like where it came from, and I need y'all to shut the fuck up and let's recover, right? I personally, the opinions that are expressed are the opinions of that speaker, not necessarily that of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. I don't like all the rhetoric during the readings. Mm-hmm. I believe it dilutes our message. Yeah. When we are reading, let's not read so fast that we forget the fucking newcomer. You might have heard it 30 times, but they haven't. Mm-hmm. Right? So let's slow down. Let's let somebody catch up to where we're at. If we were going to help our newcomers, let's slow down and give them the opportunities that we had. Because if y'all are like me, when we came in, hearing all that was just like Charlie Brown's teacher talking, and then it's keep coming back. And so that's what you do, right? So I made some meetings, and I'm like, okay, you know, they don't do it like I did. It's okay. You got to get in there. And so I did, and then I didn't, and I was, and then I was judgy and all this. And I mean, I'm just keeping it real, right? But I know that I've got to do this. And so then they had a kickball thing. And if y'all know me and kickball, I like to talk a lot of shit. Right? And I missed the kickball thing. And I got mad at myself. And I'm like, fuck this. Are you going to half-ass your recovery? Or are you going to get in there and get involved? And so I started making some regular meetings. I started making the meetings where they were talking and not paying attention to the talking, but paying attention to the recovery, because I can find the differences. I got to find the similarities. I got to find my people. I've got to find my people within the people, right? I mean, they're all my people, and I will talk to all y'all, but you know how it works. You find your people inside your people, right? So that's what I've been doing, and I've been trying to insert myself, right, into those people's recovery and those people's lives. And I mean, and I don't mean it like those people, but you know, I mean, so here, I had a lot of time here, and I was able to sit here and watch all y'all come in, right? And I could decide whether I wanted to allow you into my life or how much of my life I was going to share with you. There, I'm going in. And it's a totally different thing. And it was totally different to me. And it was something that was not familiar. And I didn't know how to do it. And now I know I just got to go in and be myself, right? And I got to get past my perception of what I think is the way that things are. And the way that things are is, if you don't get up and go to a meeting, Billy, you're going to fucking die. You're going to sit in this RV and you're going to just be miserable. And that's what I was doing. So I got up, you know, and I went to the meetings, and I'm trying to insert myself a little bit by little bit, you know, into people's lives. I can't go in and just be like, oh, you're my new best friend, come on, and everything, we're going to do all that. It's not like that, man. And, you know, so I'm having to figure it out, you know. I'm not the only new person around, right? So, and I'm not the only newcomer that came in, though I'm a newcomer, I'm not, you know? And though I go in there and I flex with my, or think I'm flexing, right? It's bullshit. Let me rephrase that. I go in there and I'm like, yeah, I got 35 years, da 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 da. Man, bullshit, you know? You're sitting over there in the trailer trying to figure out how to get to a fucking meeting because you're terrified that those people are going to realize who you are and they're not going to lie. Like you. Bullshit. That's the lies that I tell myself. That's what we tell ourselves. Today is a little different. I got me a sponsor up there. Yeah. If I wanted to say I had a home group, it would be Monday night. Because they make a difference, right? This is my Monday night folks right here. It's my hill country showed up, right? That's my new family. Mm-hmm. Y'all my still family, but they my new family, right? And I wanted to make sure that I showed up for him, so I was over there a while ago, you know? Because that's what we do. And I can't come in and keep it all to myself, right? I would love to tell you that that everything since I've been to New Braunfels has been awesome and great. It's like about the time I get, you know, all of these balls over here just phew, then over here is like a mess, you know. And there are times that, man, I am all about all my bills are paid, but I'm broke. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with paying everything and knowing that I'm okay for another week and having $15 left in the bank. It doesn't bother me, you know. Do I want to live there? Absolutely not. But, I mean, it's so close. I mean, 1.5 truck payments and this. And you know, the hope is that one day I'll find financial stability. But then I have 2 vehicles and, you know, I have a life and I have a couple of dogs that on a regular like to go to the emergency vet, you know. All of it's just stuff, man. Moving is just moving, you know. Inserting myself and making new friends is just inserting myself and making new friends, paying off the truck. All of that is just stuff. Man, what's really important is my relationship with God and my relationship with the people that are in these rooms. You know, when I first got here, like I said, it sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher, but I saw something. Something kept me coming back. I wanted something different, and that was, you know, watching other people recover. You know, could that be me? You know, is that where hope starts? You know, could that be me? I hope that one day I get there, you know. I picked a sponsor because I hope that one day I would have what she has, right? And I, you know, today I have a decent freaking life, you know, and I've got some good recovery and I enjoy sharing that with everybody. You know, I don't know what God has in store for me, and there was some, man, moving there, I can take with me what I want from here as far as negativity, right? And, man, I had a pretty hard year in 2021, 22, and there was a lot of loss in my life, and a lot of things happened, I was able to, somebody told me at one time, says, man, you have compound grief. So I lost my best dog. I find my ex-wife deceased. We lost some people in the program. We're at a funeral for somebody in the program, and somebody else commits suicide while we're at the funeral. And then friends died, and another dog passed, and all that, you know. And I mean, it was freaking hard. And, all I knew to do was to suit up and show up, to get up and go when I didn't freaking want to call my best friend and be like, okay, let's go to Starbucks before the meeting, or okay, let's go have dinner, or okay, let's go to this. And not that I really wanted to, but I knew that sitting at home, I was not going to be okay. You know, that's not what y'all told me. Y'all didn't say come in and isolate. Y'all said come in and be a part of. You know, I can't go to the hill country and make a meeting and go home and be like, well, fuck them, nobody talked to me. That's bullshit. I mean, if I want to be a part of, I got to be a part of, right? I've got to create my own path. I mean, God's going to give me all the tools and all the ability to be able to move forward. I have got to take that and move it into motion, right? And that's what we do when we get hope. We take it and move it into motion, knowing that I saw him do it. I saw her be successful. I saw them do this. I saw them do that. If they can do it, why can't I? That's where the hope comes from, right? And from all that hope and through working the steps, we build our faith. Right. And when we realize that we have all of the things that we came in and hoped for and prayed about, then we have to work on maintaining them and showing them the the love and grace that we've shown ourselves and other people, and whether it's relationships with a human or relationships with dogs or y'all or whoever, you know, we've got to give each other some grace, man, and be able to move forward. And man, you know, if I'm not moving in the right direction, I know there are some folks that will take care of me and be like, hey, you're not doing the right thing. Or, are you sure, friend? Are you sure? Don't say it like that. No, yes, I'm sure. Okay, oh, now I got to take a look at it, right? But have those people in your life. Man, by having those people in your life, man, it's what makes you stronger in this program, what makes me stronger in this program. You know, I have several lady friends that are solid as fuck, okay? I've got one that's got 20-plus years up in East Texas. I've got a family that I'm forming in the hill country that have some decent time. I got my friends here. That, you know, I have the broader the base, the higher the point of the freedom, right? That's what it talks about there. It talked about in the very beginning, it said something about the point of freedom. It said, together we rise to the point of freedom, right? And that's what our symbol is, right? So the more I know, the more I'm involved in Hill Country, the more I meet the people in Coastal Bend, the more I meet the people in Esperanza, the more I'm here, I meet new people here, right? The more I'm in East Texas, that grows too. I know people all over. I didn't come in like that. That comes with time. That comes with work. That comes with effort. It comes with the hope that I make a difference in somebody else's life. I mean, so y'all make a difference in my life all the time, but I just hope that somewhere, somehow, something I say makes a difference and you don't use today because of it, or you figure out how to handle that thing that was confusing you, or you know what to do about the job or whatever. Because when I share, I can read to you all day. Y'all can read, okay? But let's talk about how we apply that in our lives today. How are we living? I heard this at River Run. I wish I could own it, but I can't. Does the audio match the video, right? Are you? Is what you say you're doing actually what you're doing, you know? And, man, I hope that I have shared a little bit of me with y'all. I'm going to give you some time. We good. Oh, 12 times. Man, I can feel it. Look, like I said, moving to the Hill Country and being away from all y'all has been very difficult. There are several people that I've hugged that have brought me to tears. I'm really trying not to do this. Thanks a lot for the 12 minutes. There are no words to describe how I feel about Houston area and the life that I've gotten behind it. The love that was shown, the grace that was given. Y'all let me grow up in public. Y'all gave me hope for the future. You gave me the ability to talk to people and look them in the eye. You know, how many times when we were out there would somebody try to talk to us and we couldn't even look at them? And it wasn't because of them, it was because of us. And it wasn't because we were bad, we were just doing some shit that wasn't good, right? Y'all have given me hope. You've given me a way of life. You've allowed me to show my ass in public and still love me. Because it happens. Because I have character defects, right? And thank God they don't all appear at one time, you know? Thank God that, you know, my selfishness and self-centeredness is not also tied to my manipulation and deception. And, you know, we were talking about this the other day. And I don't know if we were in a meeting or where I was, but we were talking about manipulating God in prayer. You know, when you're down and you're praying, are you trying to manipulate God in what you're praying for? I mean, I've caught myself doing it, okay? So I know that it happens. If I pray just this way, or say just this, it just might, but it never has before. So, but this time's going to be different, yeah, because right. God, because I'm going to word it different, mm-hmm. and God's going to hear it different because I'm going to word it different. Man, you don't manipulate your sponsor and don't manipulate God, because there's not a good outcome at the end of that. You know, I have to be totally honest, right? And I have to find that. Or that one person or that group of people that I can talk to, you know, no matter what, that I can pick up the phone and say, hey, man, I'm finding it really difficult to pick up the phone. Okay. I got a sponsor. I think I called her twice. I might have texted her a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to insert myself. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to be a sponsee. You know, I'm trying to figure it all the fuck out and have time. You know, have some time and still try to figure out how to be a newcomer. You know, how to and not only do I have to figure out how to be a newcomer, I'm starting a new set of step working thing that I'm doing. And, you know, I lost my train of thought. Are you sure I shouldn't shut up?
No, you still got. You're good 8 minutes.
Fuck off. Look, y'all, bottom line is I suit up, I show up, I get up. Most days I pray. Most days. Saturday and Sunday can be a little sketchy because I sleep in and I drink coffee and then just the day starts. God has been... has given me more blessings than I could ever imagine. I am truly so, I'm living my dream, right? On Facebook, it came up the other day, and it was from like 13 years ago, and it says, "What's your dream job?" This is working for the forestry department, living in an RV and traveling around. I got the I don't have the forestry, but I got the RV and I got the travel, right? I don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. I don't know where I'm going to be in 6 months. Personally, internally, in my head, and anywhere else. But the thing is I'm going to suit up and I'm going to show up and I'm going to insert myself and I'm going to be a part of NA no matter where I am. If it's in the hill country, if it's in Colorado next summer, if I get to go there, you know, wherever it's going to be, I'm going to find my family. Because y'all give me hope. Because when I walk in here, I see your faces, right? Y'all are the faces of hope. You know, you're sitting here hoping that I give you that little nugget that helps you stay, right? I'm hoping that I give you that nugget that helps you stay or makes you think a little differently about something or look at it in a different perspective. I don't know. I'm not you. And what I do is I share with you what I have. And then y'all take with it and do what you want. If you got something, you got something. If you didn't, that's okay. I love you anyway. Yeah. You know, just be glad you weren't in the front row having to wear a poncho. but seriously, I love my recovery. And I love NA. And I don't always show it. And everything that I do in and out of the rooms, but I don't know where I would be without being here. And the three things that are the most important things in my life are my recovery. Because my recovery gave me a relationship with my God. And without that, I wouldn't have the relationship that I have today. And so recovery gave me a relationship with God, and it gave me a relationship with myself. a relationship where I can be honest with myself, right? I don't try to lie to myself and tell me everything's okay and it's fucking not. You know, I get it. I get that today. And I get that because I came in and I worked the steps and I suit up and I show up and I do what y'all suggested. And the very beginning still works today. Let's talk about keep it simple, work the steps, pray, make meetings, get a sponsor, all those things. It's what works now. It's no different. It looks a little different. The conversations are a little different, but it's no different. You know, some of the things you struggle with today as a newcomer, I struggle with a lot of time clean, you know, and it's the ebb and flow of this program. But the thing about it is, and here it is, today we have choices. And when we go out there and we don't get a choice. We know what that is, right? So today I choose to not use. I choose to be clean. And I choose to share my recovery with y'all. And I hope that I gave y'all some hope. Yes. And that I love y'all. And thank you for letting me be a part of HACNA and for sharing my recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Billy. Now we're going to have Jeremy.
Hello, y'all. Hello. That's mostly my home group, Billy's home group. So thank y'all for coming out and supporting. First of all, I want to thank my higher power for everything I have in my life. I want to thank my higher power for Narcotics Anonymous. If you want to bring your higher power in, you can. But if it wasn't for my higher power, I would not be sitting up here today. You know, my clean date is January 13th, 2016. I got out of Montgomery County Jail, and there's a lady in this room that was at my first meeting. She was smiling at me, and I saw something attractive in Narcotics Anonymous for the first time I saw in a long time, a smile. That's what made me keep coming back. She hugged me. She told me, welcome, and that's why I'm here today, with almost 10 years clean coming up in January.
You know,
what I will. So I'm the average run-of-the-mill drug addict. I could not quit using drugs. And every time I used drugs, I went to jail. I never put them two things together. It was always the damn cop's fault. It was never the drug's fault. It was never my mama's fault. Never the ex-wife's fault. It was the fucking cops. They just leave me alone. And then when I got in here, y'all told me if I stopped putting drugs in my body, I might stop going to jail. I have been in handcuffs in clean with about a 2 years clean. And they towed my truck because I didn't have a driver's license. But, you know, I went and got my driver's license because y'all told me to, you know. So when I first got here, we had a real tight home group. I'm from the Bear Lake and Air group in Conroe. We meet 7 days a week. I'll share about y'all a little bit so because y'all get on my nerves too, Billy. you know, but when I came here, y'all started telling me these things like, hey, get a job, go to work, you know, pay your bills, get a driver's license. At 40, 60, somewhere in there, days clean, I started fighting CPS, and I got custody of my son and my daughter from my ex-wife and CPS. I have 5 felons. My attorney looked at me when we walked to the courthouse. She said, this won't happen. She said, I'm just letting you know, you can fight for it. It won't happen. My mom looked at her and said, we have a mighty God, and I think it will happen. That day, the judge told CPS, at 5 p.m., you need to release these kids to this man. He's passing drug tests. He's going to meetings. He's doing everything as a father's supposed to be for his kids. That was the beginning of it. That's when I started really seeing the true hope of my higher power and the people in Narcotics Anonymous, because y'all told me to do that, you know. So when I did them things, I kept coming back. I kept shooting up. The other thing I heard in my first meeting, either you work the steps or you fucking die. I walked up to that guy and asked him to be my sponsor. He sponsored me for about 4.5 years. We worked the 12 steps Narcotics Anonymous in the first year. And that was the first thing I ever did, or I did in a long time, that actually gave me some clarity, like I finished something. I completed something. I was that drug addict that had 17 projects going on, and I promised I was going to get this one done, and I'm going to do that one later, and, you know, and I could never get nothing done. When I finished the 12 steps, the all bets were off for this addict. You know, so at about, I don't know, 6-8 months clean, I really started trying to get my license because the guy told me, you're driving around with your 2 kids, you need to get your license. And I would come in my home and I'd share, I got all my warrants paid off. I'm going to DPS tomorrow to get my driver's license. I'd show up and they found another warrant in the hill country or in San Antonio or something. I'm like, God, that was before it was all on a database. Y'all got it easy nowadays. Back then, I'd just show up. And it was a lot of discouraging, but I kept doing it. I kept doing it. And I jumped through all them hoops and I did all them things. And, you know, it was just in little visions and the little, them little milestones I got to do that kept me going in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, today I have a truly amazing life because of the program. And I, you know, I might share some things that don't line up with everybody else. I might share some things that you might not like. I've worked the steps. I have a sponsor. I go to several meetings a week. I do not read literature as much as I should. I went to book studies. That's how I got mine. I will tell you that I have a very strong foundation in Narcotics Anonymous that I feel, and that's all that matters. As long as I feel it strong, that's all I need to do. If I get out of my lane, I have people in my program that will tell me, hey, you're out of your lane. And they will show me. So in the first several years, I've got my air conditioning license. The state told me there's no way possible I'd get that because my felonies. I've done this. I've done that. I've met a beautiful wife. I've got married. Everybody in the program from our home group was at our wedding. And you know, the things I look back on now is like the it ain't about the money. It ain't about this. It ain't about that. It's not about the truck I drive or the this. It's about seeing my wife walk down the aisle and bringing tears in my eyes. You know, it's about the things that we've been together for almost 9 years, and there's maybe been three or four fights, and it wasn't major fights. We were discussing things, or I hurt her feelings, or she hurt my feelings, or whatever. That's my story. If y'all want to get her side, y'all can ask her later. But that's how I remember it. You know, but, you know, I that's the honest, that's my reality. You know, I mean, we have a great relationship. My ex-wife, you know, I beat her. My kids witnessed me beating her. My kids were scared of me as a father. My kids don't see that no more. You know, my 18 and 19, or my 20 and 19 year old daughter now, they still live with us. And they tell the babies all the time, no, y'all got the good dad. You know, y'all got the good one. But so, you know, all through the beginning of recovery, I poured into service work. I did the things y'all told me to do. I showed up. I went to area. I went to my home group. I did all these things. I started going to other meetings. I went to a lot of conventions, and I did them things, and I started finding some freedom. I started finding some happiness. I started finding some peace and some clarity. And this program, the ebb and flow of this program, like you talked about, you know, there are some days I don't want to do Narcotics Anonymous, but I just do it. There's some days that I can't stand half people in my home group, but I still show up. There's a while back I went on a mission that my home group sucked and I wasn't going there no more. And I would go to other meetings around the area and I would keep going. But then I would show up on my home group and I would see something and I would hear something. I'd be like, this is my home group, you know, because these are where it started at, you know, or that's the message I needed to hear that day. So with about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years clean, we had an AC business I bought. So here's the funny thing. I asked my wife to marry me, and we got married on September 13th, October 13th. But I asked her to marry me. I asked her to marry me in September. I'm sorry. I fixed it. I cleaned my shit. The guy I was working for 10 years told me, hey, do you want to buy my business? And I said, Sam, I can't afford your business. He said, I'm going to cut it down in half, and I'm going to finance you over 6 months. He said, but I want you to take it over October 1st. I'm getting married October 13th. So I went to my wife. I said, hey, I'm clearing out our bank account, and I'm buying this business. And everybody told me, you are crazy. You can't do that. My brother, who's the smart one of the family, he said I was crazy. And I'm like, man, I'm going to go for it. And she looked at me, and she said, I will support you in whatever you do. And I've made one promise to her, that if I failed at this, I would go get a job, and I'd work somebody and take care of her and the kids. Yeah. That was 8.5 years ago. And a lot of y'all know I have a pretty successful AC business. I employ Narcotics Anonymous members. I work with them. I try to show them that they can have a future in anything they put their mind to. And that was all because of y'all. You know, the hope y'all gave me that if I just keep showing up and keep doing things, I could do it. You know, and so with about 4 years clean, we really started making some changes. We started realizing, like, hey, we're growing. The business is getting growing. We're financially okay. Me and my wife, we have a home. We have a farm. We have many Highland cows. We have 100-something chickens. We get 2 dozen eggs a day. You know, we have all these things, these outside, one of my good friends says, the residue of recovery, you know. Yeah. But the amazing thing that we have is we have peace in our home. My kids are healthy. My wife's healthy. We have a healthy relationship that I feel. I have friendships that are amazing. I, you know, I have people that I could call anytime and say, hey, this is where I'm going through. What do I need to do? And I know you are going to show up, you know. So at that time, I started talking to my sponsor, and I was like, hey, there's some things that did not line up with some of the things he had going on in his life and some of the things I had going on in my life. And so I quit that sponsor, and I found a new sponsor. I worked the first 9 steps with him, 10 steps with him, and we've been kind of putting on step 11 and 12, and because I'm okay today. You know, that's what I think. I mean, I'm okay. I probably need to work the steps, but, you know. And I see my sponsor, goes to my home group. I talk to my sponsor. I don't call my sponsor. But, you know, my higher power is pretty amazing. I rented an office, and my sponsor's office is, like, right across the street. So my sponsor comes over. We have weekly meetings in our office, and we talk. And, you know, that's what I get. Because if I am left to my own devices, I will get high. That's 100% fact. Since I've been in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I had not go back out and use. If you have had to relapse, I hope you keep coming back. I hope you do never use it again. If you're new, you never have to relapse. You know, that is not a priority in Narcotics Anonymous. It's not a mandate. You can come here. You can stay clean. You can work the 12 steps. You can go to meetings. You can stay clean until you do it. I don't say that to brag. I say that because I always heard when I heard people share about relapse, it does not have to be a part of your story. You know, there's people in this room that were at my first meeting that I had so much, you know, I needed to hear them share. I needed to hear them speak because of the fact that's what I need to hear them teach. And they went back out and used, and I still love them where they're at today. And now I'm still friends with them, even though they used. I will love you no matter where you're at, but the disease of addiction is 100% will try to kill your ass. You know, I've learned that. I've buried several friends in the program. I've watched it tear people apart. So with that, a lot of y'all know, I started a men's recovery house with, like, I don't know, maybe a year clean. They get on my nerves too, you know. But watching the guys come in there, broken, beaten, nothing left to do, and then watching them turn, I say it and they, you know, it sounds funny, watching them start blossom, watching them start grow, watching them come back to life, watching them get jobs, that's what keeps me clean today a lot of days. You know, because if one of my friends told me the other night, Jeremy, there's people that depend on you in Narcotics Anonymous to help them stay clean. And I'm like, whoa, buddy, I'm not that important. And he's like, they see you doing it, and that's why they do it sometimes. And I'm not that important. My God has put me in position to help people. My God has put me in the position to be a leader in my home. And I stay clean because I don't want to throw that away today, you know. But the whole thing is, man, I still go to 3 to 4 meetings a week. I have a busy life. If I'm in the area in a meeting and I'm going to be 20 minutes late, I'm going to walk in that meeting anywhere. And I don't care if it hurts y'all feelings that I'm late. I need my meeting just like y'all need y'all meeting. I'm sorry I was late, but I have a job, you know. And I get them hope pieces when I go to different meetings. And I get the person sitting in the room sharing about how freaking miserable it is with 30 days clean and how sickening it is out there and how the drugs have changed. And I'm like, I don't want to do that today. You know, I have no desire. But so with the people in the rooms showing up, you know, one of the biggest things I think is, for me, one of the major things that y'all could give me is hope. Because I could see y'all doing the deal. I could see y'all making a life for yourself. I could see people growing. And so y'all could give me hope just like I could give y'all hope, you know. So when I came in here, that was the major deal that I kept coming back for, was the hope piece of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. So when me and Angela, we got together, she had, you know, she was pregnant, and we have an 8-year-old son. We have a 3-year-old son, and we have the 2 older kids that live in our home together. We know our 8-year-old's a little on the slow side. There are some issues. I don't know how to say it nicely. But we love him where he's at. And he knows we got a mom and dad, and he got another mom and dad, and it's a weird dynamic thing. She talks to the stepmom more than she talks to me. But they know that there's a home. But about 2 weeks – so when Cody was born, he started getting real bad ear infections. And it was miserable. We had a lot of horrible nights. We had a lot of crazy issues with him. And so Angela stopped going to church with me. And for a year and a half, I didn't ever think it bothered me. I never thought I cared. I would show up on church on Sunday morning. I served at my church. I did all them things. And I kept showing up because I knew what my higher power did for me in my life. Well, I started making some changes about 6 or 8 weeks ago. I'm taking a leadership course because y'all told me I could do anything I want in Narcotics Anonymous, and I could do anything I want, do as long as I can deal with the consequences. So I figured I wanted to become a better leader in my home, better leader in my business, so I started taking some leadership courses. And I went to my wife and I said, hey, I would like you to start going back to church with me. So she started going back to church with me. So our 8-year-old, this is like one of the most precious moments that Narcotics Anonymous has given me here lately. Me and Angela are worshiping, holding hands, and my 8-year-old son sticks his hand between us and grabs our hands. You talking about them moments like that? Those are the moments that I get because I'm clean today and I'm present in my children's lives. I get to be there. I get to see my son. You know, even if you don't know 100% what we're doing, my mom and dad just holding hands or whatever, I got to witness that. I got to experience that. I got to feel that. You know, with my other two kids, I didn't get to feel all them moments. Mm-hmm. And for months and years, I had guilt and shame. I had remorse. I had all this. You know, and my little manipulating-ass daughter, she would be like, Dad, we went to a meeting. We need McDonald's now. And I'd be like, oh, yes, you do. You need McDonald's. And my wife told me one time after about a year, she's like, you know, they don't mean McDonald's after every meeting. I'm like, well, she said they do. And, you know, and so, and she's like, yeah, that's manipulation. She's manipulating you at 7, 8, 9 years old. And so, but I didn't look at it that way. You know, I looked at the guilt and shame inside me that I had to give back to them, you know. And that's with some step work behind me, you know. So, guys, like where I'm at in recovery at today, people get on my nerves. Y'all don't do what I want y'all to do. Not my wife. She does everything perfect. I got to say that.
Good.
Save that, Queen. Good. I don't know. You're good, Billy, huh? Yeah. But, you know, so about, I don't know, 6 months ago, when my home group was really, really bothering me. And it was the same things, the talking in the meetings, this and that. And then I started remembering, like, when I used to bring my kids there. Mm-hmm. And people loved me, and they would take my kids outside. You know, and they would, I didn't know how to brush a little girl's hair. And a lady pulled me to the side. She said, hey, why don't you start watching YouTube videos? I know, like, YouTube's a major thing now. 10 years ago, YouTube wasn't as big as a thing. I didn't think about watching YouTube videos. And that's how I'd fix my daughter's hair at 9, 10 years old. Because a lady in the program told me that, you know. And when I would ask a question like, oh, my daughter's doing this, what should I do? The ladies in the program would be there for me, you know. So I had to sit back and, like, check my motives of, like, hey, these moms and these dads or these moms or these single dads, they need Narcotics Anonymous just as much as I needed it 10 years ago. And I have to look past that some days. And there's, you know, when the kids are acting wild and crazy, I have to smile at them and, you know, give them some candy so they act a little more wild and crazy, you know. Because y'all did it for me when I was here, you know. So that's my home group has really been a supporting factor in my life over the last 9.5 years. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't know where I'd be at. Everybody in my wife's side of the family is in Narcotics Anonymous. A lot of y'all know them. They've been around for a while. So I've got the normal family. Well, I say my parents are not normal by any means. But that side of the family, and then I have this side of the family. And that's the coolest thing. Like, I can see the spiritual principles in my family of Narcotics Anonymous versus the unspiritual principles in my family of the everyday churchgoers or every Sunday churchgoers. My parents, not talking bad about them, but they're very judgmental. They're very this, they're very that. And there's times that they don't just know when to love somebody where they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, and y'all taught me in here that you got to love people where they're at, you know. And I don't do that. Guys, I don't do any of this shit perfect all the time. I'll tell you that for sure. But what I have been taught is if I shoot up and show up every day, I get a reprieve from the disease of addiction. My character defects will run rampant. I will manipulate. I was hearing Billy Sherman ago. I was thinking, man, at 35 years, I'll be perfect like her almost, you know. But that's a long way to go. That's a long way to go. And
not perfect.
So, but I get to come in here because I'm clean and I get to learn from y'all and I get to learn from my sponsor. And I get to learn from other people in the program. So about, I don't know, 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, our business took a major turn. And, you know, Billy was talking about fear, all that stuff. And I had major resentment, harbored issues and all these different things. because it was all really fear-based. And when it really boiled down to it, I felt betrayed. I felt a lot of feelings that I didn't like feeling, I guess is what it was. And some of these feelings, guys, with nine, three-quarter year clean, I do not know what these feelings are some days. I mean, I really don't. But I do know I don't have to act on my feelings. You know, I used to always hear in the meetings, your feelings aren't facts. You know, and that's the reality. My feelings are not facts, but my feelings will control me if I allow them to. And so I started, you know, y'all told me when I first got here, start journaling, start writing stuff down, all that stuff. So I got on my phone, my note phones, I started journaling about that. And I'm like, man, where did I learn this at? And I was like, oh, Narcotics Anonymous taught me this. I could write my feelings down, probably like what I'm feeling. I could cuss this. I could say this. And it's just between me and my phone and my higher power. And you talking about the spirit of change of how I looked at a situation happened that quick. You know, and I realized that I could just stop, I could write stuff down, and I could let it go because y'all gave me that hope when I first got here. I really am grateful for the people in my life most of the time. There is days that, you know, I get crazy phone calls and I don't understand them. But I know at any time I have people that I could, like I said earlier, I could call, I could talk to, I could tell them where I'm at, and they know the true Jeremy. You know, and I'm that addict that would, if you told me how to act, well, it started early, oh, this is going to go probably down a rabbit hole. It started early on, you know, I was diagnosed with this, ADHD, this label. Then I started getting in trouble as a juvenile, and, oh, you're a, you know, drug addict, you're this, you're that. Oh, you're a felon, you're all these different labels. And that's how I looked at Jeremy. You know, for years, until I worked probably the second round of step work. Because the first round of step work, it'll be honest, it was about the ex-wife and the drugs. If it wasn't for them two, I was perfect, and it was them two. The second round of steps were about Jeremy, you know. And that's when Jeremy found out, like, he was touched and all these different things that happened to so many of us that we had to depress and hide because we can't tell somebody that. But I, like, them things started coming out and how – I didn't even know, like, how my brothers, they were 10 years older than me, how they treated me, that, like, fucking just tore me up inside. And I carried that shame and guilt into my 30s. Yeah. And, like, at 30 years old, I'm working step works, and I'm like, my brother was mean to me. And I started writing on that, and it's like, you've been carrying this since you were a kid, all these years that he was mean to you, you know? And so I went off them labels. Like, whatever y'all told me I was, that's what I was. Not y'all, but society and all these things. And when I came in here, y'all said, hey, just be an addict. Just be Jeremy. You know, dude, just show up. And I started doing them things, and I found out who Jeremy is. Guys, and this is, like, one thing Jeremy struggles with. Jeremy could fucking hate himself some days. Jeremy could love himself other days. Jeremy could be your best friend and love you and care about you. But Jeremy could turn around and be like, how is that helping Jeremy? Because I am still self-centered. I am still worried about Jeremy some days. And I am very caring about other people, but I still have that disease of addiction inside me. And I could still see what can Jeremy gain out of things. And so when I started figuring out who Jeremy is, I like this person most days. He's a pretty cool guy. You know, I have found out that I have a loving higher power, so I'm a Christian. I have a family, so I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I feel I'm a pretty good dad. I could ignore my kids with the best of the other dads in the room, so that makes me a good dad. I spend time with my kids. I'm a business owner. I'm all these things, but first and foremost, like, I'm just a fucking addict. And if it wasn't for y'all showing up and telling me what to do, I wouldn't be here today. You know, when it comes to what I expected my life to be, you know, we all talk about that. If we write that list down, we're going to shortchange ourselves. You know, and I heard, you know, when Billy shared a minute ago, she talked about she's living her dreams. I couldn't even dream this life, guys. I couldn't. I'm telling you, there's times I sit out there in that pasture with cow shit around me, chicken shit around me. They're chapping and yapping, and the pigs are making noises. And my 3-year-old and my 8-year-old are running around in their underwear and their mud boots. And the dogs are running around. And that peace and serenity comes over me. And that clarity of like, this is what God gave you. And I was also taught I'd be a good steward. Y'all talking about prudent reserve. Y'all told me all these different things. And if I give back to the disease of addiction in any way, I lose all that. Because once the clarity is gone and once peace and serenity is gone, it's all over with in there. I've sat in many a meetings. I've heard many a stories. I've heard many a speakers. And I've always I'm always amazed at, like, we all have different stories. We all have different walks of life. But we're all just addicts in recovery, you know. And one of the big things, I'll probably screw this up, but, you know, when Billy got a freaking booklet and a passage and a page and all that, I was like, hey, what's my topic? They said, a message of hope, and you are hope, and that's your message. And I'm like, man, Billy got all this, so they sent me in for failure already. But, you know, so I was thinking, like, I haven't been nervous at all about this, and this morning my wife started making me nervous. I started getting nervous. Hands started sweating. I've peed 14 times, you know, before the meeting. That's what we do. And I was like, you know, what's my one thing of hope? And it's our message. You know, that any addict, it ain't any addict named George or any addict named John, or it's any addict, you know. Any addict could come in here and live the life Jeremy lived. Any addict could come in here and stay clean and find clarity and do all this thing. But any addict, we could stop using drugs, find a new way to live. Any addict, you know. And that's the beauty of this program. You don't have to. So when I got into our home group, I was 32 years old. That was young for my home group. Young. Like, I'm like, there's some old people in my home group. Yeah, there's some old people in my home group. They're even older now in my home group, so we won't talk about that. But, you know, so now there's like 19, 22, 20-year-olds. I'm thinking, God, if I could get at that then. But that wasn't my story. But I could be here for them, and I could tell them, like, hey, you could do, if you stop now, you don't have to go through all the misery that I had to go through. You don't have to go through 5 felonies. You don't have to go through all the Montgomery County jail. If you stop now, you could have a fucking life that's unbelievable because of the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. That was what I was told when I got here. If I just put down the dope, go to meetings, pray to a higher power, work the steps, get a sponsor, and repeat, that I could probably stay clean, and I could probably have some freedom in my life. You know, and that's amazingly where I'm at. I don't have to answer nobody. I don't have any court systems. I'm off probation. I've been off probation for years. I do have a wife that knows where I'm at all times. I try to be a present husband. I try to be a present father. I try to be a present friend. I try to do them because of Narcotics Anonymous. So I will tell you this, if you're new here, and you're thinking about trying this thing, I'd give it a shot. Because it was the best thing that ever happened to this addict. There's countless people in this room that I've seen come in here, get a life back, get some hope and clarity, get the job back, get the girl back, get all these things back, or guy back, whatever it is. And they go back out, and it's not a guarantee you get to come back in here. There is no guarantee that last one. One of my... very close friends called his mom and said, after he uses this last bag, he's going to come back to the rooms. I viewed that guy's body with his dad while he was hugging me. Mm-hmm. Because of the disease of addiction. Mm-hmm. And there's days I stay clean for that. There's days I stay clean for my kids. There's days I stay clean for my wife. There's days I stay clean for my 4 dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4 dogs. There's days I stay clean for my cows. Whatever I got to stay clean for 24 hours is all I got to do, you know. So I'm truly grateful for the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. I think that's all I got.
That's it. Thank you.